ויש דף מסכת חולין ברטיו פרום ירושלים עיר הקדש, יש דף נון דלת. And we got up to Yossi Reb Yitzchak Pashvur Bar Marita, which is on the fourth line. We've been talking about the dinim of bedika for a drusa. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nihyeh bedivaro. So Reb Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marita was sitting here in front of Reb Nachman, and he was saying over that the drusa she'omru tzricha bedika kineged bnei me'ayim. So we had various cases, and we spoke about this before. Actually, yesterday we had Reb Shmuel bnei Reb Chiya. So the question is, according to Rashi, the mashmaut over here is that when we say the drusa she'omru, what we're referring to is the suffix drusa that Rav and Shmuel were arguing about. According to Rav, in Chushin, the suffix drusa, and according to Shmuel, we are Chushin no suffix drusa. This is only a din in suffix drusa, but a vadai drusa does not have a heter bebedika because we see the drusa lefanenu, and the dinim of treifas is that a drusa is treif. What good does it do to make a bedika if we know that we have a drusa? So if we don't know that we have a drusa now, we want to make a bedika to see whether there was a drusa. That makes sense, because we can be makir the mokum that there was a drusa. Furthermore, according to Rashi, the mashmaut is that this bedika can be done while the animal is alive, and it's done on the bosar. Dr. Barry looks very cozy this morning. Very dangerous. That the bedika can be done on the busser that's outside kineged the evarim. It doesn't mean from the inside kineged the evarim. Now, this is only Rashi Shita, that's the mashmaut over here. It's that yadima busser from the outside. So the whole thing is only a question of, do we see any signs of a drisa having taken place? So it's very much different than the way there are other Rishonim learn that there is a bedika, even for a vada drusa. So of course, l'machma, l'halacha, but in any event, most of the Rishonim hold that the bedikas that we're talking about over here are bedikas li'acha shlita, not bedikas from the outside. So where is the area that we would need to do this bedika to see if there was a drisa, according to Rashi, or whether this drisa asers, according to bedika, those who hold that there is a possibility of a bedika, that even a vadai drisa would help for bedika? And that would mean, look, it's an entirely different issue. Whether the admumit that we're looking for, the little red reddening of the flesh, is simply an indication of a drisa having taken place. It has nothing to do with the lethalness of this drusa at all. It's simply a question of where we detect that a drisa took place. But lamaisa, if there is a definitely bedika, definitely a drisa, how could we do a bedika? So, okay. The funny thing is that few speak about this openly. That's what's very strange. I mean, it's really just a diak in the smog that there is a drisa, there is a bedika for a drisa vadoit, because the lashon of the smog is that a suffix drisa has to have the same bedika as a drisa vadoit. Okay. So it's clear that he holds that there is such a thing. And therefore, I mean, this is also the Rush brings this, and the Mordechai brings this. So it's not so pashut that the drisa bedika is not an actual bedika for the effect of the drisa. But remember, these are two very different approaches. Are we looking for signs of a drisa? Or are we looking for signs that the drisa that existed was lethal? In any event, what would the drisa, the bedika for drisa, be? So he said over what we had learned before, that drusa she'amru tzricha bedika kineged b'nei me'ayim. So you would basically have to do the bedika where it was any of the area that surrounded the viscera. Omar le'Reb Nachman, that's not what the halacha is, because I swear to God, Elohim, Moriba Rav Mikapov Yad Atma. Rav actually said that you need to do much more than that. You need to go all the way from, now we don't know exactly what that means, Mikapa. The kapha is literally a spoon. So it would have to be a bone or an organ that is shaped like a spoon. What exactly does that mean? What is the kapha that we're referring to? If it means the kapha de yada, which is the shoulder blade, essentially, so then that's the same thing. If you take a look at a cow, the shoulder blade is exactly at the point that the area of the ribs that cover the viscera and all of that basar, that's exactly the same place. You could draw a straight line down from a shoulder blade around to the corner of the lung. So what in the world would be the difference? And he's saying, oh, no, it's much more than that. Same thing. He must have meant mikapa de mucha. Remember that we call the actual the internal area that holds the brain, we call that also the kapha of the mucha. And that is what he must be referring to, which means you're going to have to actually go all the way, not only including the evorim apnimiim, you're also going to have to include the simani. That is what it went, that indeed is what we saw before. Kisolik Rabbi Chia, so when Rabbi Chia came, left Bovel to come to Eretz Yisrael, he finds Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are sitting, and they said also, Drusa Shamru, Sricha Beneika Keneged Bnei Me'ayim. So here too, Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef said, whoa, that's not enough. I swear to God, Elohim, Mori Barav Mikapa Be'al Atma. Anyway, so Rav, of course, was Rosh Hashiva in Bava. So Reish Lakish didn't think very much of these guys, remember? He refused to even, you know, stick his hand out to say Shalom Aleichem. His response was, I hate your goddamn guts. So he was not exactly impressed with the fact that they're quoting some character in Bovel. And he says, who's that? Rav? Who the heck is Rav? Never heard of him. Manu Rav. Classic Reish Lakish response. Who is Rav? Who ever heard of Rav? Lo yadan alei, never heard of him. Why are you telling us something from some character in Bavel? I don't know who he is. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, hold on, man. You don't remember. Because, of course, Rav was originally in Eretz Yisrael. So you don't remember who Rav is? That was Oto Talmid Shishimeshet, Rabbi Rav of Rabbi Chia. He was the Talmud. He was the star Talmud of Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, and Rabbi Chia. And I can tell you one thing, that all those years that he was sitting in the shir, I wasn't allowed to sit in the shir, okay? I had to stand, because I wasn't good enough to be given a seat, okay? So now try to remember who this guy is. This is not Stam, some idiot. And I'm telling you, Ve'aloyim, everybody's swearing by God today, that kolo tam shanim sheshimesh oto tamid b'yeshiva nishimashli b'amida. All those years where he had a seat, I had to stand. This sounds almost as bad as Mir, huh? Or Brisk. They do the same thing. They get a seat in Shir, you know, you got to wait for 3 years. And I can tell you one thing, Lahavdil. And I can tell you one thing. Man de Gavar, that Gavar, who was the one that was better? Hu gavar bekula, he was better in everything. There was nothing that I could compete with him. Didn't matter whether it was limud, it was in memory, it was in chassidus, it was in maizim tovim, it was in midos tovim. He was more than me in everything. How could you not remember him? Oh, that guy, says Reish Lakish. Him? Yeah, I remember him. Bram Zachur Oto Aish Letov, you're right. We should remember him for good things, because he once said something good, which I remember hearing. They said something intelligent from him, so he's not one of these cuckoo Babylonian characters. What he said was that if you find that the simonim there was a shmuta of the Gargaret, and nonetheless, the Shechita took place properly, and you could see that the Shechita had no problem, then it could not be that it was a Shmuta B'Shach Shechita. because the gargaret that is detached from the jaw, when you press against it with the knife, it does not slice properly. And if you can do, it just presses down and moves. So if you could have done the shchita, then that's an indication that it actually was a shmuta only after the shchita took place. You don't have to worry about its being, then in such a case it would be, it was an avela, because remember, we paskin that the shmutas, excuse me, that the shmutas agargeret is a neck that is not really for shchita. It's not just a trefa. Anyway, that was the machlokas. Remember, kol psul b'shchita is an avela, which Rabbi Akiva was invited to in the end. Shmutas agargeret, if you recall, is only mentioned in our Mishnah Neila Trefas because Mishnah lo zaza b'mekoma. Remember, it was written originally according to the das of Rabbi Akiva. There was a trefa, and even after Rabbi Akiva was made there, the Mishnah lo zaza b'mekoma. We left it in place.
Rabbi, we went very fast. Could Rabbi explain what mikafa v'ad atma means? What are the implications about the simonim?
Yeah, I don't know. We spoke about it yesterday already, which is why I didn't spend much time on it. Repeating the thing we said before. The only thing that's added is the kaf that we're saying now, that we're saying that it's the kaf ha-moach, so it includes the simonim, which we also had learned before, but he never said it in that way. So now we understand that the bedika also has to include the simonim when it comes, although that's not true, when it comes to nefula. I keep reminding you of things. I know I speak a lot about things that are not directly nogea, but I like to keep bringing it up so that the sugyas are constantly refreshed. So even though when it came to nefula, we say that simonim are koshimim in terms of nefila, Rav says that's not true. The gabi drisa. Although there was a difference, remember yesterday. The difference was that basar keneged the simonim is considered to be a simon of drisa. Keneged evorim is considered to be a simon of drisa. But not when it comes to the simonim. The simonim themselves would have had to have changed color. You would have had to see that red on the simonim itself, which involves the machlokas that we just spoke about between Rashi and the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Tur. Okay. Again, just reminding you. So, continuing on. So what it was that Rav had said that Reish Lakish was impressed by was the amazing idea that you can actually tell whether the behema was shmuta b'shah shchita by seeing whether the shchita worked. If the shchita worked, if shalish shmuta shetayase shchita, you can't do a normal shchita on a loose trachea. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you have to do hakafa. Remember what hakafa is? We've had hakafa mekif and babui. We had mekifin when it comes to the kloyot. We had mekifin when it comes to the rea. Mekifin means that if you have a hole, we had mekifin b'meyayim. If you have a hole and you're not sure whether that occurred after shchita because it was in a place where it was exposed to the butcher shop and it was a place where people were touching and it may very well have been caused, or we even had the case of the lungs where the sheikhet sticks his nails, he sticks his hand in and his hand has a sharp fingernail. Remember, he likes using his fingernail to test that sakin. So that too was considered to be, if we had any kind of hole in the lung, it could easily have been caused by him. So remember, we have this din of akafa. Akafa is another way of saying to compare, meaning bring close a new hole that you make now and see whether it's similar to the hole that you found. And remember, we had that whole story of Rava's son who had rubbed the hole to make it look more similar and just used his logic to say that, of course, he'd have to expose it to trauma a little bit. Anyways, Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing over here. What you should do is cut the kana again to check whether it looks the same. And if now it looks the same, so then if it looks the same as the shchita, so then if they look different, so the difference is because the first one was made in the non-shmuta gargaret, and the second one was made in the shmuta gargaret, and we would have to look, could tell the difference as to whether the type of bleeding, and so on and so forth. Omer of Nachmi, this din of Rav is obviously not applicable. If the shaychet grabbed the neck and he held the simonim while he did the shchita, Because if he held, he supported the trachea while it was being shechted beneath his hand, so then there's no reason why you wouldn't have been able to do shechita, because that's the equivalent of being held in place by being connected to the jaw, obviously. So Rav only meant this halacha. Lo shana lo shelo tafas besimanim, avo tafas besimanim v'shechat. Of course, Rav would agree. Efshar l'shmuta sh'teyaser shechuta. Now let's go on to the next piece, the closing piece of the mission. The closing piece of the Mishnah gave us a general rule. Now, we would be profoundly mistaken if we took this rule on face value. What this rule is doing, Zeha Klal, is the Klal does not create ever a completely new criterion, you see. So you can't take the cases that we had, which were very well defined. They were either Nekuva, or they were, we included also, they were Kurua, they were Netula, and so on and so forth. So we had those 8 or 9 categories we were talking about. That is all that the Klal can expand on. A Klal can't introduce a completely new criterion, namely, whether you believe that this animal is capable of sustaining life over a period of 12 months, right? That's a new criterion. That's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that if you find any of the sets that we already found in the Mishnah, and there are new members to that set, then you can add a member to the set if it is something that is Eino Chaya. You see the difference? But if you come up with something brand new that is not included in any of the sets of the Mishnah, the fact that it's fatal does not make it a treifa. That's how we need to understand the Gemara that's coming up about Hosafa ala Treifas. So let's review it again. So Zeklau, Kol She'eino Chaya, She'kiyotzi Ba'eino Chaya, is actually a treif. So what is that Zeha Klal? What is it coming to include? I mean, you don't just mention a klal if you don't have an actual thing in mind that the Mishnah hadn't mentioned, but that is meant to be included. Well, it would include the Shev Shmaitza, remember? We had the whole list of the Shev Shmaitza right at the beginning of the Perek, and all of them, we call them Shmaitza because they were set over by Amoraim, they're not Brises or Mishnayas, but they're included in the Zeha Klal. Well, what about other things that cause death? Now, we've seen evidence, anecdotal evidence, that animals die as a result of it. I could tell you that the Ve'yosef Rishba, Mochu Begida Denasha, the Katlin. These were trappers, so they used to get skins and so on. And what they would do, they would hit the Gida Nasha, and the animal would expire from that, either by shooting it there, like by shooting an arrow at it, or so on. And trappers actually have very convenient ways of, they'll trap an animal, let's say, inside of a trap, and it's a dangerous animal. They have very convenient ways of killing that animal that you would never have thought of. For instance, a strike across the nose, just a simple strike across the nose, will jam the nose into the brain and bring instant death. So a trapper who is, you know, well-versed and is used to it, I mean, he just walks over to the trap and you wouldn't even notice the animal suddenly dies. So they used to hit it right on the Gidan Nasha, and the animal would die. So does that mean that if an animal was hit on the Gidan Nasha, that we have to add it to the Trefas? So Otel Lekami de Reb Yehuda ben Batera, so they went to ask Reb Yehuda ben Batera, since this is something that dies, would you be able to shecht it quickly before it dies in order to make it not a loss? Or do we have to assume that it's a treifa? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera said, Omar lehu, v'chilach osif ala treifot yesh. I don't understand what you want to do. You want to add contemporary medical knowledge to create a new treifa? There's no such thing. You can't create a new treifa. The treifas were particularly defined according to those sets. What would this be part of? This is not part of any of those sets. So therefore, ein lecha ela ma shemanu chachamim. You only have the sets that the Chachamim mentioned, that that's part of our Kabbalah of the nature of treifas. The fact that something is fatal doesn't make it a treifa. We had the Ve'rev Papa Bar Abba Rishba. They used to be able to smash a kidney, and also the animal would die. Also, the Kami, the Rebbe Abba. If that, does that mean that there's a treifa of haka of the kidney? Amar Lahud, he said to them the same thing. V'chilo sifa la treifot yesh. Ein lecha ela ma shemanu chachamim. There is no such treifa. We know that there's no treifa of a nekuva of the kloya, and therefore there's no treifa of hitting a kloya, which would be a completely different thing. But I don't understand. If we know that something is going to die, isn't that the meaning of treifas? Well, kachazin and the kamesa. Well, how are we denying the fact that we see that it dies? No, because basically what we have to assume is that gemiri, the chibadri ha'samachaya, these things are, there are ways for an animal to survive it. We don't know those ways, but if we had in our hands the knowledge and the medication or the surgery that would allow the animal to survive, it would have been able to survive. And therefore, up front, it's not considered to be a treif. Now, this brings us to a very important moment in which we've been left to our own devices, unless Richie shows. Oh, look.
Here I am.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I'm right here.
So this brings us
in body, if not in spirit.
Stop putting Richie down. I don't tolerate him. So if this Mishnah is actually the mirror image of the original Mishnah, and it tells you all the things that the first Mishnah calls treifas, it tells you where those very things are so similar to something that is dafka, not a treif, and it's kosher. Now, I say it's a mirror image, but it really isn't. Because remember, there's one place where symmetry breaks down in the Mishnah. And where is that? That is how much you need to have left of the liver. And here, remember, we asked this before. Here it says you need a kezayit of liver. And we had in Eila Treifas, lo nishtar menu klum, nothing was left of the liver. We already raised that issue. So when I say it's a mirror image, I mean except for the liver. So with the brilliant introduction that we're about to get from our very own Sir Richard, we shall begin.
Dr. Heilige Mishnah.
A lovely beginning. The Elu Kishei Rot Bivehima. Here are the same issues that we spoke about, but which would be kosher. Let's say there was a hole in the gargaret. There was a hole in the kana as opposed to the vesha. Or let's say it was even nistika. It was slit right down its length. What we saw before, that is kosher. How much could actually be taken away from a kana and it would still be kosher? And this, of course, we also discussed before. Missing material, a hole that is missing material. Now, that's different than a nekuva. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, an iser ha'italki. Another case. Suppose the skull was nifchata, but lo nikev krum shel moach. So suppose the skull was crushed, cracked, even if a little bit is missing, and we see that there is no damage to the cranial membrane. And remember, we said before, even though there are three different layers, really, to what today is what's called the different cranial membranes, the one that we're talking about is the only real cranial membrane because it goes around the entire brain, not attached to the skull. So we see there's no damage. That's kosher. If the heart had a hole in the heart muscle, but it did not penetrate all the way through, and therefore it did not get to the ventricle, we said that that is kosher. What about if the spinal column was busted, but the spinal cord was intact? It's also kosher. Suppose the liver was taken away, but there's still a kizayit left. It will regenerate. Suppose the hemses or the betakosot had a hole, but not to the outside, but rather they had a hole from one into the other. Oh, well, that is considered to be normal because they're always, the hemses and the betakosot, anyway, are connected. So that's basically the betakosot as joint. That's the same, we said betakosot is really the reticulum, which is the stomach that it goes, the food goes to, from the keres into the betakosot, and then from there it goes into the hemses. This is all normal. So what's the difference if you have an extra hole, if the food is going in that direction anyway? And how about if the entire spleen was removed? So we saw before that a spleen that has a hole in it, as we discussed earlier when we were talking about Chef Schmeitzer, a spleen that has a hole in it, that is a trefa. But a missing spleen is not a trefa. Again, another one of these counterintuitive, unless you happen to know the very common medical reality that, of course, a punctured spleen is very dangerous and is removed right away. And therefore, the nitla, when we want to contrast the two, if the hole was taken out as opposed to have a hole, then it would be fine, then it would be kosher. How about if the kidneys were missing? Nitlu hakloyot. Now, this is another one of those strange mishnayos that go against our medical. Somebody, please, Alon. So, this is another one of those strange neged medical understanding. How in the world would you be able to have an animal that would survive without its kidneys? So once again, the question over here is what do we mean? What type of treatments would be available for this animal instead of its kidneys? Now, you might compare this to human kidneys, but you'd be making a big mistake. Animals, I'm not talking about all animals, but ruminants, do not use their kidneys in the same way that humans do. Much of the actual tahira, specifically of the whole potassium story, and so all of that takes place in the hemses, which is unique to ruminants. And therefore, a lot of the processing that's done by human kidneys is actually done by ruminants in the hemses itself. So the question is, what do we mean over here by a long-term survival? They actually can survive, where nitla klayot, and it would be easy also to provide the kind of treatment. You don't need to do a whole dialysis machine. All you need to have is liquids going around the peritoneum, and you would end up being able to survive forever. So maybe that's what it's referring to, and it's including even that type of treatment. But it is nowhere near as radical as the loss of the kidneys for a human. Nita lechi hatachton, if, remember, we said that means that you carefully removed the lechi hatachton, but you left the kana and the veshet attached to the connective tissue that was beneath the lechi hatachton. So it was only the lechi hatachton that was peeled off. If the animal had a hysterectomy, nitla ha'emshela, or an animal with a charuta. Now remember, charuta was anaphylaxis of the lung, and fascinatingly, the same charuta that is a trefa, if it occurs because you shoot a gun next to the animal's ear, causing it to go into shock, if it's hit by some lightning or thunder that scares it, it is not a trefa, even though the lung looks exactly the same and it cannot expand because of anaphylaxis. So therefore, only a charuta bidei adam is called charuta. A charuta bidei shamayim, Again, doesn't seem to make sense, but if it went into shock because of something that was part of nature, it does not become a treifa. And then we had our machlokas about the gluda. The gluda, remember, was a machlokas, so it belongs in both mishnayos. The gluda was an animal that lost all of its skin, either through disease or it was pulled off or it was worked off. So Rebbe Meir was machshir, and the chachamim are poskim. So the question is, which one of these mishnayos is the one that is definitive? Because when a Mishnah uses the word Eile, Eile is always Dafka. But here, you've got two Mishnayos. They both say Eile, but they have different implications. These are Eile are the Treifas and no other, or Eile are the Kesheros and no other. Well, which one is the one that was only said in order to keep it parallel, but the which was the one that was said that was meant very, very specifically? Well, that's a machlokas amoraim, and we'll see what it's nogea. Itma, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it's elu treifas that is bedavka. So that means there is a first Mishnah case that the Tana holds is not to be included in that Mishnah, because only the following things that I mention are to be included in the treifas and none others. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, on the contrary, it's the second Mishnah that says, don't try to give me another case that you claim is kosher. It's not kosher. Okay, what are they talking about? So what's the case? The case is Rav Masna's case. So remember, we had Rav Masna all the way back. This was one of the Shef Shmaitza, and it was the Buka de Atma. If you recall, the Buka de Atma, that was the ball of the bone of the thigh that got pulled out of its socket. The Shof Miduchte is a treif. And as we pointed out in the Mishnah, on the daf, the first daf with that Mishnah, this is something that occurs all the time. If you swing your kids around too much, you could actually do this to your child. And I see there are some parents that are giving a knowing look. Oh God, yes, we did that. So anyway, so it's easily fixable, say too easily. If you know what you're doing, you can simply, and you got a couple of people that can do it, because it's very hard to stretch the sinews in that way. But if you pull on the leg and you twist it around and so on till it finally clicks back into place, then it just clicks and that's it. And then the whole thing is over. What we're going to see is that we're talking about over here that you can't click it back into place because the connective sinews are torn also, or they've been scratched away or stretched to the point of uselessness, which if you keep doing this to your kid, that will happen. So watch out when you swing those babies. Anyway, so the question over here is the Buka de Atma considered to be included in the Mishnah? Here is how it works. It's very different than the way it looks on the surface. So Rabbi Yochanan, who says, these are the only cases of treifas. So that is the one that's dafka. So then if you list the treifas and you say Zeh Klal in the end, so the Zeh Klal in the end includes the Shev Shmaitza, right? Now, the Shev Shmaitza included Rav Masna's Buka the Atma. So then that means that in our Mishnah, if I read the Mishnah and I read it together with the Zeh Klal, so the Tana sees, Rav Masna is included in Zeh Klal, right? Why would it be included in Zeh Klal? Didn't we just explain when we started the Sugya? We explained, I forgot to put the recording in here. We explained, I'll try recording on this device. We explained that you can only add to the Zeh Klal if it's an expansion of one of the existing sets. Now, Buka de Atma de Shaf Miduchte, The fact that it's dislodged, dislocated, there's no treifas set of dislocation. So therefore, the Zeh HaKlal would not include Rav Masna anyway, right? Wrong. The Tana was afraid that if we just had the Mishnah without saying Eilu treifas, that then the Zeh HaKlal, people would think, that includes Bukad Atma de Shafni Duchte. How is that? Did my timer, the Danya Lenitule. You might include it in the list of Nitals. Now, Nital, when something is actually missing completely, like with the question that we just were raising about the Nital. So we have all of the Nitals. We said beferish here that Nital Akroyos is okay. But Nital, that isn't mentioned here as being okay, namely Bukada Atma. How is it Nital? Because the fact that it's no longer a workable Bukada Atma, for all intents and purposes, it's gone. It's been removed from the place where it needs to be functional. Therefore, the Tana said, Eilu treifas, only the sets beferish that I'm talking about, do not include a Bukedi Atma de Shafmi Duchte as an expansion of the Zeh HaKlal of the set of Netulis. You see how this is very not the way you thought it meant when it said the Dafka. So that the Dafka is coming only after we already have the Zeh HaKlal, and now we want to be Mamayat the Zeh HaKlal, not include all Sheva Shmaitzas. You see? That's how Rabbi Yochanan learned. Whereas Rav Shlakish says just the opposite. Eluk Sheretz or Dafka. These sets and only these are what is kosher. So what happened over here? So first, the Tana listed back in the first Mishnah all of the treifas. And since it said Zaklal at the end, and that was the full sum total of the Mishnah, and the Zeh HaKlal would not be including Bukhari Atma de Shafmi Duchte, why would it not be including it? Because it's not any of the type of things we discussed. We never talked about something that was dislocated as a treifa. We only talked about things that had holes or that had slits in them or that were missing. I mean, where dislocation? Whoever talked about that? So therefore, the Tana was afraid that Rav Masna's case would not be included in the Zeh HaKlal that was in the first Mishnah to tell me that it should be a treifa. My taima, because it's not a nekuva, it's not a psuka, it's not a netula, it's none of those. Lavla nekuve dami, lavla psuke dami, lavla netule dami. And as we said at the beginning today, we're only talking about expansions of the existing sets in the Mishnah when we talk about Zeh HaKlal. So the Tana was afraid that we wouldn't include Rav Masna's case. Therefore, in the second Mishnah, which is the second part of the first Mishnah, he said, Eilu kisheros, only these are kosher. Don't think the Bukad Atma is kosher. Anehu dikisheros. But Rav Masna actually is treifa because it is considered to be a netula. And it is meant to be included. Wow. Goof, let's think about that Bukad Atma once we're on it. Because, I mean, after all, if there's one thing you're going to remember about Eilu treifas, it's going to be that Bukad Atma to Shafmi Duchte. It's almost a rock song. I can hear Naftali actually putting it to music. Yeah, I see he's thinking about it right now. So, a Bukad Atma to Shafmi Duchte. So, let's get into the... Now you'll never get it out of your earwig. Okay. So, let's take a look more about that. Gufa. I did it, huh? I did it. I can see. That's it. Okay, so if you don't mind sharing the song next time you get together with the band, we'd love to hear it. I'm telling you, it's going to be a hit. Gufa. Amar Rav Masna. Hi, Bukad Atma. I say, Bukad Atma, the Shafmi Duchte, as Rav Masna said, is a treifa. But Rava said, no, if it just is dislocated, I mean, put it back in, you know, pop out, pop in. He ifsik nive treifa, only if the nivim. So now, what exactly are the nivim? So the pashtus is the way the Rashi is learning over here. The nive are the ligaments that hold it in. They're attached to the ball itself, and they're attached to the the hole into which the ball goes into in the thigh bone and connects the two. But the Rambam learns that the actual meaning of the nive is not the internal nive, it's rather the connective tissue that holds the atma, which is the thigh bone, that holds it up against the, that means the etzema alia is attached to the atma with ligaments besides the internal ligaments in the ball itself. Okay, so that's a big machlokas, what is considered to be the part that's chasa. And when you say, moving on, okay, so that's the end of Book of the Atma. Now, when you say in our Mishnah that you could have a kana, but if the kana is chasa to the point that it's chasa, a isra italki, then it's already going to be a trefa. Now, we don't use the isra italki at the time of the Gemara, and therefore, Zairi said to his yeshiva, Aton de lo mitchami lechon shiura, you've never seen an Isra Italki, but that's only because you don't know Barnea. Since there's an easy way to see the size of the Isra Italki, it's exactly the same as a dinara kurdina, which is a Kurdistan dinner, which of course Barnea will simply open up his drawer and take you out. A dinara kurdina. Got one of those handy there, Barnea?
No, but I once had all of Kedushin Yud Beis. I once had all of Kedushin Yud Beis. We sold to Ravarn Shecht, is that how? There was a moment.
So at least the Isra Italki was in Barnea's neighborhood. We could say that.
Yeah, a Roman ass. Yes.
Okay.
Does Rebbe know I'm a member of the Israel Numismatic Society?
A member? I thought you were the president. Okay. So now that itself is actually easily accessible because it's the same size as the Pshita Zudrati. There's a small, the Pshita was the simplest coin, and it would be, there were two sizes. There were the Pshita Zudrati, which was worth the same amount as the wider one, but you can find, if you see in Pumbedisa, the normal Pshitas that they use, they mix them sometimes with the smaller Pshita. That's the Pshita Zudrati, which is Mishtakra Beni Pshita de Pumbedita. You've got a pile of Pumbedita Pshitas, which are the normal coins there. There's usually, you'll find a couple of smaller ones. Om Reb Chana Petora. Reb Chana, who was a banker, and that's very much this week's parsha, right? Petora. Sound familiar? In Bolak? Well, if it isn't familiar yet, you better go over the parsha now. So Petora, as Rashi says, Petora is not only the name of a place. It means kulam, or shochin lay, they're bakashas, as if he was a Petora, because everybody goes to the bank. I mean, where else are you going to pay your electric bills? So they would all come to Reb Chana. And essentially, he says, I'm sitting at my counter in my bank, and I look up, and who do I see? Oh my God, I see Bar Nafcha. Bar Nafcha was the name that was used for Rabbi Yochanan, because there's a couple of pshatim why we called him Bar Nafcha. The simplest one is that his father was actually a Nafcha, was a smithy. Anyway, who is standing in the bank? Rabbi Yochanan. Oh my God, I almost fainted. So I want to jump up to be mechabed Rabbi Yochanan. And he's saying, I need a dinar kurdina because I have a trefa and I have to see how big the hole is. And so I wanted to jump up. Boy, the meka me come up. The Lord Shafkani didn't allow me to stand up. He pushes me down and he says, Shev bini, Shev, you're not allowed to stand up. Ein ba'alei umaniyot u'shayim la'amod mipdei talmidei chachamim b'shar shoskim b'malachtam. You guys, you know, what do you believe? You should shut the whole country down because of the fact that you got time out of the Beis HaMedrash. You're not allowed to break from your work because what do you want to be, a ganav? I don't understand. You're being paid to do this job. They pay you by the hour, and you're going to use your time to be mechabit tamid chachomim. On whose time are you being mechabit tamid chachomim? Get out of here. Anyway, so you're not even allowed to stand up for me, so don't even think about it. And so now give me my give me at least an example of a dinner that I could use that is similar to the Isser HaYitalk. Wait a minute. You're not allowed to stand up. Well, what about that beautiful Mishnah in Bikurin, Velo Vatnan? The Mishnah says, Ko Baleum Aniyot Omdim Mipneyan, Vishalim Bishlomam, that when the people come in from all over the country and they're all carrying Bikurim, everybody's supposed to stand up. And they say, even though they're Baleum Aniyot, they're in the middle of work, they stand up and they say, Oh, Achenu, Anshim Mokom Ploni, however far you've come from, Boachem B'Shalom, we're so happy to see you, even though you might have come all the way from Chatzorah to Relit. It's a pleasure to welcome you here today. And with Dafka, we stand up. Yes, says Rabbi Yochanan. Note that it says, Balei Umaniyot Omdim Mipneihem. What do you think it's a Mipneihem? What did you say? That Ko Balei Umaniyot Omdim B'Shalim B'Shalomam. Obviously, we were talking in the Mishnah about the Mevi Bikurim. But that's the point. The Mishnah is saying, Mipneihem Omdim. They're only allowed to stand up in front of them. They are not allowed to stand up in front of Talmidei Chachamim. And this was a special takana that the Rabbanan made in order, and the Rabbanan have a right to be mafkir, even the money of the person who hired the Balei Omniyot. And therefore, they said, for this purpose, they have to stand up. Oh, so that must be, said Rabbi Yossi Barovin, that must be because look how very special it is when somebody is being Isaac in a mitzvah at the specific time that that mitzvah can be done. For them who are being Isaac in a mitzvah b'shata, bringing the bikurim, they stand. But that must be the reason. No. What makes you? No. Me, my wrong conclusion. I mean, you may be right, but in terms of how chaviv it is, but you don't have a right to assume that's the reason here. The particular takana may be, look, it's not easy to make that trip and to carry those bikurim from coming all over the country. And therefore, in order that these people should be given the kind of, that's all they need. They're going to come here after traveling for 2 weeks to be able to come at the schlep, and they come in, and all that they get is traffic jams and people shouting at them, no tourists, get out of here, man, and so on and so forth. They'll never show up again. So because of that, the Chachamim were mitaken, make them feel how happy you are to see them. So maybe that's the reason. Anyway, now the question is, we said that the shear of a chisoran is the shear of an iser ayitalki. And then we also had a shear, remember, that we had in Ayalois, Benagea, chisoran in the Gugolet, where over there we had the shear of a sela. And that was, remember the whole sugya, what is a shear that it's enough for a person to die from, and so on. Anyway, so there the shear was kesela. Over here the shear is keiser. How do we measure that? Is that up to and including, or is it only beyond? In other words, sela and beyond the sela. So Reb Nachman said the size of the sela is already where it becomes the shear, and it's pasul. It says kama chisaron kesela or kama chisaron keiser. So the sela is the same as more than a sela, and the iser is the same as the yeter nika iser. So when you're given a shear, that shear is the precise shear that creates the iser. That's the point. So this is true both for gabe the din of a sela in the gogolet, in terms of chisaron the gogolet, and in terms of a nekev with a chisaron in the konev. Anyway, this seems to be that Reb Nachman holds as a general rule that when we say ad, we mean ad, but lo ad bichlal. So we mean only up to that size, but not actually that size. Because, look, that does not follow from kesela, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah of ad kesela. But it does say over here, it says ad kesela, ad keiser. So that part is the part that we're being medayik l'chora. So apparently, even though the Lashon is odd, it meant to up to, but not including. Eisvei Rav Rebbe Nachman, if this is the way that Rebbe Nachman understands general rule, when we had the case of a string that hangs off of a bed. So remember the way they used to make beds. They still make beds. Some places like this, you can buy beds like this. And, they're meant to be very retro, but very special looking. So you make the frame, and then you have ropes that go around the frame, back to the other side, around the frame, back to the other side. The whole area is supported by these ropes, where the ropes are surrounding the frame. Now, you made the bed, and you left a piece of rope that is still hanging, that you didn't cut off. And now the question is, can that piece of rope be mekabel tuma? What's the issue? Well, the issue is that rope is not a kli, and rope is not a beged. It's only a bed that's a kli. So if this rope is part of the bed, or even if it's a yad for the bed, so then in a chinami, it will be mekabel tuma because of the kli of which it's a part. But if the rope is unnecessary for the bed, so then it doesn't serve any purpose. It's just a rope, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So therefore, take a look at the Mishnah that we learned together in Kalim, that if you have a rope that it goes ad, use the word ad, ad chamisha tvachim toho. So it says up until five tvachim, it's toho. So why would that be? Because if the point is over here, it has to be part of the bed. This thing, it's just a piece of dangling rope, is not going to be useful. So now, I'm assuming that my lav, that means that five itself would be kilamata. Why would I make that assumption? Because the Mishnah continues over there with a lot of different shiurim. So it says, up till five, okay? And then it says, from five and beyond five. So if you keep talking about the various different stages, so then we're assuming that the tvachim mentioned are all the same tvachim. Here's your first set. The tvachim from zero to five, including five tvachim. So that means five tvachim are included. If the Mishnah meant to say ad velo ad bechlal, so then it should have said ad atefach hakamishit. It shouldn't say just a list of tvachim. So when you have a lot of lists, it's clear that they're all meant to be included. So you see that the word ad means ad, not like you're saying ad velo ad bechlal. It means ad and ad bechlal, right? No. Hi, Taina, Reb Nachman could say. Hi, Taina, that it means chamisha is kilamal. The next stage, what good is the next stage? The next stage, if it's beyond five, so then it's very good for tying things to the bed, when tying an animal to the bed. Isru chag be'avotim atkanot ha-mizbeach, as it brings over there. Not only that, if you'd got to put your bed into the mikvah, so this is a wonderful way to lower it. Five tvachim is enough to lower it, and therefore it's considered to be a yad to the mitah. Anyway, so when it says chamisha adasara, then it's tame. So, I mean, clearly it's a list of tvachim, including the tenth, right? No, I say asara is like the next group. Come on. Okay, I'll bring you a riot from another Mishnah in Kalim, okay? Hadakin Shibikli Cheres. Over there, we're talking about very small Kalim that are made out of Cheres. And the din is over there when they break. So remember that we consider a Kli Cheres to be broken only when it no longer serves any of the purpose or any of its original purpose. We have that as a machlokas over there. So if you have a very small kind of Kli, then whether you're talking about the whole kli, the dakin, or you're talking about the karkarotehem, you're talking about a remaining bottom of that kli, or dofnotehem, a remaining side, but it's broken. As long as they are yoshvim shalom esumafim, as long as they can sit flat, you don't need to put something under them to support them, and they hold a little bit of liquid. How much liquid would they have to hold to be considered a kli? Shiuran bichtei sichat katan. I'm thinking that this is Yeah, we can go up to the next Tashma. So Shiuran Bechtei Sichat Katan. It's enough as long as you can have a one-day-old infant. If you get enough baby oil in there, of course, using olive oil, enough baby oil in there to use even to get one finger oiled on the infant, it's considered to be a kli. And this is true even if it wasn't so tiny. It held a whole lug. That is the shear. And once it's bigger than that, then we have a revius as the next shear. But I'm assuming that that means, for the same reason, that the Mishnah keeps raising the ante and discussing the sets, that the lugs are, the sets are always part, the ad is part of the original set, right? So if you say ad lug, you seem to be saying up to and including a lug, because the next set is from the lug up. So my love, lug kilamata. And again, Reb Nachman will have to insist that even though the Mishnah continues on going, as we'll see in the next piece, it doesn't matter. It means the lug kilamala. So then, I mean, but the same Mishnah says mi lug at sa'a. Then you would need a revius. So doesn't that mean that the sa'a is part of that second set? No. Sa'a kilamala. Well, the Mishnah continues on mi sa'a v'ad sa'atayim. Then you would need not a revius, you need a chatzi lug. Doesn't that, I mean, these are all sets, including the full measurements. So my love, sa'atayim kilamata. No. Sa'atayim kilamala. Okay, I didn't want to keep going forever here. I should have stopped before we started the riyas here. Ask the Gemara, you cannot say that because the Braita says beferish that that's not true. The lug is the same as kilamata, so it's up to and including. The sa'ah is kilamata, up to and including. The sa'atayim is kilamata, up to and including. So how could Reb Nachman go against the Mishnah? That's different. If you're going l'chumra, Reb Nachman is made it. Those cases, all of those cases, actually would be a chumra, because the first level requires less liquid to be held in order to be makabel tumas. Reb Nachman agrees. If we're talking about a chumra, so then the Tana is allows it to mean the entire chumra. Otherwise, he would explain it. That's all that Reb Nachman was saying. Reb Nachman says up to and not including, where that it is the chumra, where it's not included. In all of these cases, it's the other way around. The Omer of Abu, Omer of Yochanan, their general rule is, if you can measure things and there's a little bit of spread, so we know there's a question of how much is a tefach, close together or not close. So we talk about that, how much is an amma, close together, further apart. Wherever the Chachamim gave a shear, always take it l'chumra. The only time that they were mekel is when they were machmer on the shear of a gris, which is for the dam nida. If there's a stain, which is a tremendous chumra to call every stain an actual nidais, because remember, nidais is only where there's a hargosha of nidais. So this is like, maybe it was hargosha, she didn't notice. That's a tremendous chumra. So because of that, when they gave the shear of kegris over there, even though there's a spread in the gris, it means to be taken at lakula, daikanami, and you can see that in that Mishnah itself, in the, where we were talking about the shear of the hein v'karkaroteim and so on. Daikanami, diktani Allah nabraita, on the Mishnah that is talking about the chevel that was attached to the mita. There's a braita that says chamisha is kilamala and asora is kilamata. That means in the same Mishnah, we define the shir l'chumra, and that there's no general klal of saying ad v'lo ad b'chlal or ad v'ad b'chlal, because in the same Mishnah, the five is like lamala and the 10 is like lamata. So therefore, what that means is even in the same Mishnah, whichever tzad is chomor, that's the tzad that it means, whether it means up to and not including, or up to and yes including. Huh. Okay, everyone. Have a wonderful day, everyone. B'sorot tovot.